Welcome to the Mom's Day Bunker with Carrie Henson. In the bunker, you will find joy, grief, laughter, and remembrance. It is a safe place for moms to gather during the storms of motherhood, to share stories and to encourage each other as we navigate doomsday moments that change the trajectory of our path as women. Our stories contain difficult subjects that may be triggering for some listeners. These are real stories from real moms that are surviving, have survived, and are thriving after the unthinkable happened. Please take care of your mama heart as we cozy up together, take shelter from the world, and begin. Welcome to the Mom's Day Bunker. You are listening to a podcast that is a passion project. Well, it kind of started as a passion project. And it just kind of blossomed. It just kind of blew up. And it's exciting. It's really, really exciting. So I'm so glad you found me. I'm so glad you're here. I want you to know I am a big dreamer. I've always had big dreams. Huge, huge dreams. From the time I was a little kid, I've just had really, really big dreams. I once thought I was going to be a country western singer. Really, I think my daddy wanted me to be a country western singer. He had this guitar. Oh, he loved that guitar. And I was a little performer. Like, he could tell I was already a little performer. And he put me in guitar lessons. He's like, she's going to learn how to play the guitar. She's going to sing country songs. It's going to be great. Y'all, I do not have a musical bone in my body. I don't know where my kids get it because it is not from me. It's terrible. I am like tone deaf or something. It's horrible. It's a horrible thing. So I did not, alas, become a famous country western singer. But I've always been a big dreamer. I wanted a big family. I wanted a big career. I wanted big travels, big adventures. Everything was just so big. I mean, I'm talking like backpack in Europe. And work in Antarctica for 6 months and, you know, take Hollywood by storm, save the whales, y'all. I looked into all these things. I tried all these things. I dabbled in all these things. I didn't quite make it to Antarctica, but I did apply. Like, I had huge dreams. And when I was 20 years old, I met Ty. I dated him for a couple of months. And after a few dates, you know, he wanted me to meet his parents. I was like, okay, cool. So I went, I had dinner with mom, dad. We had a lovely time, got to the dessert. We're still chatting, just chatting it up. And she made this comment that has stuck with me like all these years, these 24 years later. She was talking about another female in her family, and her sister maybe, or her cousin. And she said, I don't know what she has to complain about. She lives in a brick house. I've always dreamed of living in a brick house. Now, I didn't know there was anything wrong with her house. I remember driving up. It was a quiet neighborhood. It was an older neighborhood. All the houses were made of siding, but it was nice. Like, what was wrong with her house? I was confused. And it dawned on me that living in a brick house was her big dream. That was like the biggest dream she had. I mean, she went on and on about living in a brick house, y'all, while we're eating dessert. And I think she had designed the whole house in her head. And that was like the dream she held on to. And I was so confused. I was so confused in my 20-year-old self. I was like, really? Because I want to go on like a sailboat across the world. You know, like, I want to see every major museum in Europe. I want to see the seven wonders of the world. My dreams just never stopped. And I met this woman who only wanted to live in a brick house, or at least she was fixated on the dream of living in a brick house. And it was a great moment of maturity for me because I realized no one's dreams are small. No matter what that dream is, seems like the biggest dream out there. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that wild? Like, living in a brick house? That's weird. I didn't grow up in a brick house. I didn't live in a brick. I think I live in a brick house now. Yeah, I do live in a brick house now. I don't even care. Like, it doesn't matter to me what the four walls are around me. But to her, that was just so important to her. And it put things into perspective. And I thought, man, I'm never going to dismiss or look down on someone else's dream, because to them, it's the biggest thing in the world. Then there are those unintentional dreams. Do you know what unintentional dreams are? The ones you don't intend, but they happen anyways. So when I went through my first divorce, it was very hard. It was very hard for me. I was abandoned with these two babies. I was a full-time college student, non-traditional college student. So I was older than my peers. I was working three jobs to make ends meet. I was taking 21 hours a semester. I was a double major, history and theater. And then, of course, I was doing theater, which is like a full-time job in and of itself. And I had no idea. I have no idea how I got through that. I really don't. I had to bring my kids to class all the time, to rehearsal all the time. When I finally got that divorce, and when college ended and the jobs ended and I was left with these two babies, I was really down on myself. It was really hard. It was a really difficult time, because here I was, 27 years old, and all these big dreams seemed to vanish in front of my eyes. Like, I was never going to backpack Europe. I was never going to really live in Hollywood or New York City or Chicago. I always dreamed of going to Chicago. I was not going to audition for SNL. I had responsibilities. I had responsibilities to these two babies. And I was in a mountain of debt, and I had no place to live. I was living with my parents. It was disheartening. I was down. I was down on myself. And I had a dear friend at the time. She said, "Carrie, you have accomplished your dreams. Open your eyes. Look around." One of my dreams was to be a mom, and I had these two incredible human beings. I had Harry and Jay, and they were amazing. And oh man, I mean, I just thought, you're right. I do have this. And then I started to look around. I started to open my eyes and really look around. I always wanted to do film. Well, I was shooting an independent film. I wanted to travel. And you know what? I got to travel. I got to travel to Louisiana. I got to travel to Colorado. I wanted all these big dreams to happen for me, and they were happening for me. They just weren't happening on the scale I thought that they should. And I've been on this dream journey, it seems like, my whole life. And I believe dreams are little seeds that God plants in your imagination. And like all seeds, some take root and others don't. And these dreams only come to fruition if you make it a goal. You see, dreams are just dreams. Dreams aren't real. Y'all, dreams aren't real. You ever have one of those good dreams? Oh, have you ever had one of those good dreams where you do not want to wake up and you're like, subconscious tells your conscious, don't do it, don't wake up, don't wake up. I had this dream once that I was sitting in a hot tub with George Clooney. Now, it wasn't even sexual. Like, it was just me and George shooting the shit in a hot tub. It was the most like amazing dream. And I did not want to wake up. I was like, no, don't wake up. Don't wake up. It was so good. And we're just hanging out, me and George. And then there's those nightmares. God, those nightmares that just, you wake up in a sweat. I had this reoccurring dream when I was a kid. This dream plagued me, y'all, for like 6 or 7 years. It plagued me. And it was all red. The whole dream was in red. And I was in like, I was like on this, like a shopping center, like Chinatown, like in, what's that movie called? Gremlins. Where the dad goes and he gets Gizmo and he's like in Chinatown, and the kid's like, it's down here in the basement. I would walk down these basement stairs like in that movie, but everything was red. And I knew if I walked in that door, Satan was going to be in there and he was going to get me. And I was like, I don't want to walk in that door. I don't want to walk in that door. But for some reason, I always opened the stupid door. And then I was like trying to run away and get away from Satan. And that I had that dream like 2 or 3 times a year for years, like 6 years. It was a terrible dream. It was a nightmare. And I got good at recognizing when I got into that nightmare, because then my subconscious will tell my conscious, girl, wake up, wake up. But that's the thing. Dreams aren't real. They aren't real. You wake up and they're gone. The good ones, the bad ones, because a dream is just a dream until you make it a goal. And that's the key. Man, if I could tell my younger self, I love that you dream big. You've got to write it down. You've got to make it a goal. You've got to put a how-to to it. You got to put step one, step two, step three. Follow the steps. Trust the process. I can't imagine where I would be. I can't imagine where I would be. And I had these unintentional dreams happen to me. And I would pivot and I would adapt and I would pivot and I would adapt. And I would say, I really dream this. I really dream like being on stage and performing and making people laugh. I want to be on SNL, you know, that's where I want to be. And I had to pivot and I had to adapt. And you know, I've never been on SNL. I can't imagine I will ever be on SNL. But I was in a show. I was in a show, a really big show here in the big city. And it was hilarious. It was slapstick comedy. It was improvised. It was scripted. I worked with an incredible co-actor who's a friend now. And that show ran for months and months, which is pretty incredible. It's an incredible thing that it did. And I had so much fun. I made people laugh every night. We laughed. I laughed with them. They would joke with me. We would just die laughing every night. It was so much fun. One of the charming things about that show is that the actors were required to go to the lobby and greet the audience members in character and say, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. This is great. And take pictures, sign autographs. And you know that, that was the worst part. That was the hardest part for me. I hated it. I hate like every night, like, you know, it was kind of exciting the first couple of times, but then months of doing the show. And I'd go out there and I would smile and take pictures and autograph programs. And it just drained me. It drained me. And so 15 years after this bright-eyed and bushy-tailed 17-year-old girl who had the biggest dreams in the world realized, man, I'm so glad I did not stick it out in Hollywood. I am so glad I did not stick it out because I would not have done well. I would not have done well. I would not do well in that environment. If I was like one of those, I don't know, just name one. Like, who was it? And a lot of them don't do well. A lot of them like tank, man. I don't even know. I can't even think of a name right now. But you know the A-list stars? I know you're thinking of one. You've probably got one at the top of your head. Can you imagine being a prisoner in your own house and people outside your gates, out just right outside your property line, ready with their cameras? Can you imagine that? It'd be terrible. It would be terrible. I would totally crash and burn. And I said a prayer to God that day that I realized that. I said, God, thank you. Thank you for bringing me back to Texas. Thank you for not opening those doors. Thank you. Because I would not have done well. Mentally, spiritually, I would not have done well. So sometimes your dreams do come true. They just look different than what you think they're going to look. And of course, you have dreams for your kids. Of course, everyone dreams about their kids. The first time you're pregnant and that baby starts moving and you feel it for the first time, I mean, it gets real, right? It gets real when they start moving around in your belly. You know, when I was pregnant with that first one, it was a boy. I was so excited. I was excited about football. I was excited about school plays and garage bands. And I was going to have all the kids at my house. I was going to have all the neighborhood kids at my house. We were always going to have, you know, just a revolving door and snacks everywhere. And he was going to be so popular. And he was going to be like prom king. And he was going to go to Ivy League schools. And he was just going to be like a politician and governor of Texas. I don't know. I was crazy, y'all. And that is not what happened. That is not what happened. He was the most active child that slept 4 to 6 hours a night from day one. 4 to 6 hours in a 24-hour period, actually. Like, he never slept. He is not interested in sports. He's very musically inclined. He's very artistic. He was called to be a protector of this country. That was his calling. That was not my dream. I did not dream of sending a son off to the military or a daughter. I didn't dream that. I didn't want it. And it's not that I don't respect the military, but geez, what a dangerous place. I don't want that. What if we go to war? Then you're in the military. What the hell? I don't want that. I did not dream ever. It was never in my mind to send him off to the military. It was his calling and it was his dream. And it has been the absolute best decision for him. I'm really proud of him. And then when that first daughter was born, oh gosh, I was so excited. I bought so many little girl clothes that I couldn't afford. And I just was in love with her. And she was this teeny tiny thing. And she was a good sleeper. Oh, thank God she slept, because Harry never slept, but Jay slept. And she was sweet and she was cuddly and she was just so sweet. And I loved her and I wanted her to be girly and I wanted her to be a princess and I wanted her to, you know, wear the foo-foo things and do the cheerleading and do the, you know, I just wanted everything for her. She's not girly. She's rough and tough. She played softball for 5 years and broke her shoulder, was done with that, decided to do theater, which made my heart leap. Not going to be on stage, only wants to do backstage. I want her to get married and have a bazillion babies and make me the happiest grandma in the world. Not going to happen. She wants a career. Okay, great. Have a career. What are you going to do? What's your career going to be? Tech theater? Yay, let's do that. Nope. She wants to be a criminal psychiatrist. She wants to pick apart murder scenes and look at dead bodies and blood and gore. Not my dream. Not even in my peripheral. Like, no, thank you. Gross. But it's her dream. And you know what? She's going to rock at it. And Harry's going to rock at his dream. And he's not going to be in the military forever. He's heading to A&M. Can I get a whoop from all my Aggies out there? He's heading to A&M. He's going to be an engineer. I have no doubt. It's not what I would have guessed, by the way. What I would have guessed and what I have always guessed is he would either be a politician, an actor, or a preacher. He was going to be one of those three. But as of right now, he's a military man. I don't even know what his rank is. So I'm terrible with those terms. But he's a military man. He's protecting our borders. And he's knocking college out of the park with online classes. And he's going to be a graduate of Texas A&M. How incredible. And my other daughter's going to be a PhD in psychiatry. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. I never dreamt that. And I'll tell you a funny story about Banana, number three. Oh my God. I hope she never listens to this. She'll kill me because she's at that age, you know, she's 12. She'll be 13 soon. She's at that age where she was like so embarrassed. But when she was about 9, she got my mom's phone and she started recording herself. She's on the bed and she goes, "Look out, world, I'm here." And she starts doing this dance. It is the most precious thing in the world. And it's so funny because she is the quietest child I have. She is my kindred spirit. She reminds me so much of my grandma and I love her so much. She's so pretty. And she's so quiet and she's so timid and she would never do that. Like, she would never get on stage in front of a crowd of people. Look out, world. Oh, God, I laugh about it every time. I laugh about it every time. Dreams are important. Dreams are important. But you got to remember that a dream is just a dream without goals. And then you have those unintentional dreams. And if you just look, you just pay attention, You'll see them. I had a wonderful time talking with Danielle. Danielle is the cutest Cajun, y'all, that you will ever meet. She has the best accent in the entire... I love her voice. I could listen to her talk all the time. But we recorded a long time. And I'm going to share a little bit with you. She had a dream of this baby. I mean, she was told she couldn't have kids, first of all. And then she got pregnant and it was a boy and she was so excited. And, you know, things happened differently. It turned out differently for her. She had a neurodivergent child. She had to figure out what that meant. She had to figure out how to deal with it. She had to figure out like how to help him throughout his whole life. Like it's a lifelong thing. It was not in the dream. It was not in the dream of motherhood. And while we're recording this and we're talking, I mean, we're like an hour and a half into chatting. She shares with me a Mom's Day moment that just happened to her. I mean, a week before we recorded, her little girl got a very scary diagnosis. And they're still in the process of figuring it all out. They're still in the process of, you know, second opinions and third opinions, but it is a Mom's Day moment. And I was in shock. You never know what to say, right? Even I don't know what to say. And I've been through some stuff, y'all. Like I've been through some things. And I didn't know what to say. I mean, this is like real time. This is Mom's Day moment in real time. And I blundered my way through it. I was like, oh my goodness. And, you know, we just kind of sat and stared at each other at one point because we're looking at each other through a screen. We're recording remotely. And I couldn't hug her and I wanted to hug her neck. And I thought, my gosh, you've been through so much. And yet here's another one. What I told her is that she's not alone. And what I want to tell you is that you're not alone. You're not alone. You really aren't. You really aren't. Hey, listen, if you haven't had a chance, go to my website. It's momsdayprepper.com. MOMSDAYPREPPER. Momsdayprepper.com. And on there is a contact me, contact Carrie. You can contact me. I would love to hear your story. Even if you don't want to be on the podcast, I would love to hear your story. I really would. Eventually, there'll be like a blog or a Mom's Day page where people can just, you know, write a paragraph of their story. Just get it out of you, you know, just get it out. Because you never know. You never know who you're going to help. Until next time, bunkmates, stay safe.